From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A powerful pain medication is under attack. OxyContin is a narcotic and is intended for patients who suffer chronic pain. But it has also become a favorite of drug abusers. And now there are questions about whether drug company officials or federal regulators should have anticipated problems. NPR's Patricia Naiman reports.
Scary headlines started in spring about a year and a half ago, first in Maine, then in Kentucky and West Virginia. A new, highly addictive recreational drug, a potent narcotic with a heroin-like high. Soon, there were reports from hospitals around the country, patients suffering overdoses and bad reactions to OxyContin. Psychologist Peter Provet directs Odyssey House, a drug treatment program in New York City.
We see people at Odyssey House who have completely lost their lives to the drug. Family, friends, apartments, jobs, where their entire life is geared towards getting that drug.
Federal officials say emergency rooms have seen tens of thousands of drug abusers with problems related to OxyContin. Over 100 died. And blame is everywhere. The government should have known. The company should have known. Maybe, says pharmacology professor John P. Morgan of the City University of New York. But Morgan says the media sensationalized this story. And as a result, he says, people are overreacting.
This is a hot story, legal heroin, hillbilly heroin, an epidemic of prescription drug abuse, enormous numbers of drugstore robberies, undocumented, enormous numbers of deaths due to OxyContin, again, undocumented.
Morgan says many of the deaths attributed to OxyContin also involved other drugs, including heroin, cocaine, and alcohol. And he says putting all the blame on OxyContin is too simple. This story is complicated. It's a story about good timing, bad luck, bad judgment, and unintended consequences. First, the timing. When OxyContin was approved in 1995, it was welcomed by doctors who wanted more choices for patients in pain. The time-release mechanism gave patients relief for 12 full hours, allowing a good night's sleep. So doctors prescribed the narcotic for pain related to cancer, surgery, back ailments, and fractures. Dr. Paul Goldenheim is with Purdue Pharma, the company that makes OxyContin.
What we've learned is that it's better pain management to try to prevent the pain from returning rather than giving medicine when the pain returns. And so that's why controlled release medicines have such an important advantage.
But Frank Sapienza of the Drug Enforcement Agency says the time-release mechanism that makes OxyContin a good medicine for patients also makes it a popular choice for drug abusers, because so much of the main ingredient, oxycodone, is packed into one tablet.
All they had to do was crush it or chew it, and the time-release mechanism was compromised, and what you received was the full amount of oxycodone in one either swallow or one injection or one snort.
And one full dose is 10 times as potent as most painkillers. That makes OxyContin as powerful and dangerous as street drugs like heroin, without the stigma.
Prescription drugs, which are approved for medical use, have this aura of safety about them because they are approved by FDA, they are pharmaceutically pure, they are not made by clandestine laboratories, and you obtain them from doctors or pharmacies.
Many drug abusers get prescriptions by lying to doctors, saying they suffer from chronic pain. And that's where the bad judgment comes in. Purdue Pharma acknowledges it aggressively marketed its drug to doctors. Frank Sapienza says maybe too aggressively. He says the marketing was misleading because it downplayed OxyContin's addictive potential.
Well, the labeling, for example, said that OxyContin tablets in time-release forms were less abusable. This was presented to physicians at seminars in promotional material and other material. This was not anything wrong or illegal, but I think it just was a circumstance and a factor that led to the increased prescribing of this, and prescribing of it maybe in situations where the medical need was not really justified.
For example, Sapienza says OxyContin was prescribed for pain when less strong medications like Tylenol with codeine could have worked. In response to reports of abuse, the Food and Drug Administration ordered new labeling for OxyContin. Now, labels warn doctors about the potential for misuse and encourage them to prescribe less powerful painkillers when appropriate. Even so, questions about responsibility linger. Should the company or the government have anticipated the abuse of OxyContin, or was it just bad luck? Drug treatment expert Peter Provet says the company absolutely should have considered OxyContin's addictive potential before putting it on the market.
To the degree that this company didn't ask these questions in the manufacturing of the substance, didn't look at this narcotic and say, if this pill is crushed, can it be a powerful narcotic that will be abused by those individuals who have a predisposition to addiction? I would say yes, that there's a degree of responsibility there for this company.
Purdue Pharma says it wasn't focused on drug abusers when developing its product. When taken as directed, Dr. Goldenheim says OxyContin is completely safe.
OxyContin was developed for patients in pain. These drugs are not developed solely to avoid abuse. We educate physicians, we educate practitioners, we educate the healthcare communities about the risks of abuse and diversion, but our focus here is on the pain patients who are suffering.
Pharmacology professor John P. Morgan says it's nearly impossible to predict which drugs will appeal to abusers. For example, he says MS-Contin, another powerful time-release narcotic also made by Purdue Pharma, never became a drug of abuse.
MS-Contin has been available in very high doses in capsules and tablets since 1984. And they, as far as I know, no one had ever reported this kind of phenomenon. So I don't believe they could have been prescient enough to predict this, and I don't blame them for it.
But those who do blame Purdue Pharma point to an earlier drug called Talwin. Within a year of its release, there were reports of it being crushed, mixed with an antihistamine, and injected. So the drug company added a substance known as an opiate blocker. When abusers crushed the tablets, the blocker prevented them from getting high. Purdue Pharma is working on a similar reformulation of OxyContin. In the meantime, company officials worry about a backlash against the drug. Dr. Paul Goldenheim says some doctors have already stopped prescribing it, and some pharmacies won't stock OxyContin.
I know of one patient whose spouse wandered from pharmacy to pharmacy for 3 days trying to get the medicine that he so much needed, in this case for his pancreatic cancer.
Nationwide, Goldenheim says prescriptions for OxyContin are down. Patricia Naiman, NPR News, Los Angeles.